sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 147. Wabi, huh? Smooth it out. This is a story about the drifter who waited for the worst because the best lived cross town. Who never planned on having so didn't. Why me, huh?
Message!
Some get a little and some get none. Some catch a bad one and some leave the job half done. I was one who never had and always bad. Never knew my dad. Mother bleeped up. Well, anyways, I did a pickup, lift and clicks up, see many sticks up, cause nigga had a trigger hiccups. I couldn't get a job, nappy hair was not allowed. My mother couldn't afford us all, so she had to throw me out. I mean, there's a mistake in this shit. You know what? Okay, I'm going to stop here because I don't want to ruin these beautiful lyrics and just do like I usually do and say, hey, welcome, bienvenue, à un autre episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, and a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. Before I start the show, I want to inform you new listeners, especially those of you who clicked on this podcast by mistakes. This podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I represent and hold it down for black folks who go through life feeling like an outcast and grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on February 11, 2024. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. That last part is important. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Excuse me. Yeah, you know, I think I got this intro narrowed down, man. I think I found the intro that I like. I think I'm the intro I'm going to go with, right? Did I represent, hold it down for black folks? Okay, I'm going to tighten that part up, but I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up. Black folks who go through life feeling like an outcast. Should I say gone through life or go through life feeling like an outcast? So I was saying, yo, you're black, but you always feel like an outsider. And it's not meant to be a self-pity thing, but it's more meant to be a matter of fact type of thing. Okay, I'm telling you all this because I'm not sure whether I want to say and grew up or felt an outcast because they grew up in the 80s. Yeah. All right, okay. I'm going to get back to you, man. I'm going to get back to you. The point is, if you feel like an outsider, black and an outsider, you're welcome. Well, except for you pedophiles. Yeah, fuck that. Yeah, man. Or shitty human beings. Yeah, nah, I'm not talking to you. This podcast is not for you. All right. Okay, hey. Right, for you new listeners, just to help you get situated, first, welcome. And two, I like to break down my episodes into three parts, or acts, if you will. The first act is the introduction. Second act is news and random thoughts. Last act is final thoughts. And final thought usually relates to the title and whatever I read at the beginning of the episode. So in the intro, I like to do shit like, as you can tell, I play the anthem, recite the title, then probably recite some poetry or something close to something poetry-like. And then I welcome you and try to give you a heads up the kind of podcast you listen to, especially Warren. Thinking of providing a translation for white people and saying, this podcast is not white fragility friendly. You know, there's a lot of other podcasts and you can listen to that. You know, what's that white boy's name? Kirk, I forget his name, but you know, there's plenty of podcasts out there that will cater to your white fragility, but not this one. All right. Okay. And another thing I like to do in the introduction is share some dates. Things worth remembering, like, for example, did you know on February 10th, 1987, Public Enemy released Yo Bum Rush the Show, their first album? And, dope album, if you haven't heard it. I don't know. I'm not going to address it if you haven't heard it. Consider it homework. Another thing I like to do in the introduction, you know, just to warm up, is share some quotes. And this particular one goes, this one I felt, and it will somehow relate to the title and the theme of the final thought. And it goes, "You must first realize how dope you are." Let that shit marinate. Shout out to my man Talal Macy for blessing this on his timeline, on his Instagram timeline is where I found it. Okay. This next one is not a quote, but it's an idea worth sharing. And, I'm just going to play it. I found it on TikTok, and I'm just going to play it and, and take it from there. Oh, hold on a second. It helps if I unmute it. Okay, sorry. Okay, boom. Hit the unmute button. There we go. All right, let's go.
Pain travels through family.
Okay, let's start this again. Okay, pain travels through families. That's what you're supposed to hear. Here we go.
Pain travels through families until someone is ready to feel it. For many of us, our generational curse is avoidance. We come from people who just act like it didn't happen. But pain demands to be felt. And somewhere along the line, a child will be born whose charge it is to feel it all. These are your shamans, your priests and priestesses, your healers. You call them mental health patients and label their power as depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, and the like. But these are the ones who are born with the gift of feeling. And as we all know, you can't heal the pain that you refuse to feel. It is no measure of health to be well adjusted to a profoundly sick society. In everybody's life, there's a point of no return. And in a very few cases, a point where you can't go forward anymore. And when we reach that point, all we can do is quietly accept the fact. That's how we survive. I don't want to be a genius. I have enough problems just trying to be a man.
You and me both, brother. You and me both. All right. Usually this is the part where I try to unpack what you just heard, but instead I'm just going to let it be and hope it touched you the same way it touched me. Okay. And okay. And this concludes the introduction. Now let's get on with the rest of the show. All right. Y'all ready? Okay. Let's go. Okay. All right. Okay. I broke down. Okay, there's a lot of items to get through. Oh, hold on a second. There's a lot of items to get through, but I'm putting on a timer for myself. And and I broke it down into news and actual news and random thoughts. And the first one is the headline says it all, right? Zoom First, I'm going to say block. Okay. Zoom lays off target DEI amid a broader pullback on diversity initiatives. Zoom is following in the footsteps of Google, Meta, and other corporate giants that have used layoffs to cut back on diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Okay, not the employee. Okay. In the continuing waves of mass layoff, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to read it. Okay, it goes. In a continuing wave of mass layoffs, at large companies this year, Zoom eliminated 150 jobs last week. Notably, some of those targeted were part of the company's diversity and equity inclusion programs. Last week, Chief Operating Officer Aparna Bawa told Zoom staff that the company is officially changing its approach to DEI, Bloomberg reported today. Instead of having a dedicated internal team focused on inclusion, the company plans to hire outside consultants to engage in employees on DEI efforts. The company is still hiring for roles in other departments related to machine learning, AI, and engineering. We regularly evaluate our teams to ensure alignment with our strategies, a Zoom spokesperson told Bloomberg about the layoffs. As part of this effort, we are rescoping roles to add capabilities and continue to hire in critical areas of the future. Okay, now there's a... After the murder of George Floyd in 2020... many companies announced programs aimed at increased workplace DEI efforts. Zoom, for example, launched recruiting programs focused on building a more diverse talent pipeline and created employee resources group program, according to the 2022 survey from the company. A spokesperson from Zoom told Bloomberg that the company remains committed to DEI. Oh, fuck, white people. However, since the Supreme Court, that's the part, this is the reason why I'm reading this article. However, since the Supreme Court overturned affirmative action last year, many other companies have pulled back on DEI efforts, including Google and Meta. On the other hand, some firms, including Morrison, Forster, and Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher, have found success navigating conservative-backed legal challenges by tweaking the language of their DEI policies and updating eligibility criteria for diversity-related programs. Okay. Be black, you might be asking this, why the fuck are you sharing this article? Why does that surprise you? Yeah, so white people, so this whole DEI thing was just a fad for white people. Why are you sharing this shit? You're not telling me anything new. I think the real reason I'm sharing this is sometimes I think there's a white person who doesn't know black people who's listening to this podcast. Yeah, I'm a dreamer. I don't dream of it, but I'm saying that's very unlikely. But my point that I will say is, dear white people, when it comes to racism, acknowledge the fact that you benefit from it. Quit fucking with us. And just, I wish we could get to a point where I have a dream. White people would simply admit, yo, this racism works to our advantage. And I say this because I want you to understand, again, I want you to understand whenever you start talking about how you are against racism, you're not a racist, you're in the fight against racism, we don't believe you, you need more people. Now, I can't say that kind of shit at work because I'll get fired and make white people feel uncomfortable. Part of their job is making white people feel good in their skin. But anyways, yeah, I can't say that kind of shit. But I want you to know, whenever you go off on some speech about how we are committed to fight racism or committed to DEI, we don't believe you. What I am saying is, don't fucking say do. And all this article does for me is reaffirm. It's just another article saying, yeah, no shit. Like, we were expecting this shit. Well, black folks who are in the know, we were expecting that shit. Yeah. All right. Okay. So much for not spending too much time on the first article. But here we go. Next article. Okay, this one is in French. And I labeled it in the show notes. It's labeled under Mike Canada, right? And what I mean by that, okay, so the title of the, oh, sorry, it's not in French, okay. But it relates to the French part of Canada. The title goes, it's a shame you find English words, quote-unquote, cool, Legault says bilingually. So for those of you not unfamiliar with Canadian culture, right, there's an English side and there's a French side. And the French folks, they're in a minority in this country. And not only are they in a minority, they're white people who resent the fact that they're in second place of white of whiteness. Goddamn English, yeah. They hate the English. Anyways, I've been exposed to the French I grew up in that part of Canada, and hearing this representative. Hold on, in Canada we have premiers, right? This representative, the dude in charge of the fucking province. His name is Legault. Hearing him bitch about how, yeah, man, look. Hearing him bitch about how it's a shame our youth find it cool to speak in English. It's been my life. It's always been a thing. See, the thing with the French people in this country is they're trying to hold on to their language, their culture, which I ain't against. I'm not against. But I kind of wish they were consistent and would share that shit with everyone else, with the other immigrants. Would also help the immigrants in their country or the indigenous people. Like, I wish they shared that value with everyone else. No, it's like, no. And whatever, that's not my point. It's just, I'm only sharing this article as a punchline because it's just funny to hear them. It's an everyday thing for French people trying to preserve their language. And here you got this old man trying to talk to this younger generation using the word cool. It reminds me of a youth pastor trying to get kids to show up to church. And homie's out of touch. I mean, I understand what he's saying. But being a fucking, you know, racist old man, out of touch old man, you're just giving a reason for kids to be like, yo, fuck you, old man. You know what? What do I know? I'm sticking to what I'm saying. And this is just more of a punchline. Also, a representation of the Canada that I know. All right. What else I got? Okay. This one here. Okay, I'm not going to play the whole thing, right? Shout out to Sister Messi Morphew. And I'm just going to play this for the beginning. And then she says this. Okay, hold on. Just something she says at the beginning. Okay? Ready? And plus it's Black History Month. So here we... God damn it. Go. Go.
You know that Africa is not the indigenous name of our continent. It's Al-Kibulan, which means the mother of mankind or the Garden of Eden. This is really cool because it means that we've known the entire time that Africa is not... Did you know that Africa is not the indigenous name of our continent? It's Al-Kibulan, which means the mother of mankind or the Garden of Eden. This is really cool because it means that we've known the entire time that people come from our continent.
All right, okay. She says she drops more, she spits more facts. And you can, again, links is in the show notes. I'm only sharing this mainly because how she used the term the indigenous name of our continent. See, I've always heard about how Africa was, Akibulan was the original name. But using the term indigenous reminded me of, all right, colonization and all whitewash and all that shit. And also, you know, it's Black History Month. And you know what KRS-One says?
You must learn.
So, yeah. All right. Now, here's the fucked up part is I Google Akibulan, and it's not that I Google, it's more I looked it up on Wikipedia, and in the article about Africa, there's no mention of the term Akibulan, which means that don't be surprised if white people give you pushback. Akibulan, never heard of that word! You know, then again, why would you? Yeah, I guess it's one of those facts or those piece of information that's not fully agreed upon or something like that. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm going with Akibulan until someone tells me differently. Someone not white tells me differently. All right. That's not what I meant to do. Sorry, I closed down the wrong application. How many times have I said sorry? Okay, let me do this. All right. Okay, next item. Okay, I don't know if it's worth playing it. I'm gonna play a clip. Okay, see if fuck it. It'll make you hopefully make you
name girl named Big Boy. I need another birthday boy.
Hold on a second. Oh my god, this is trying to sync. I'm using this weird keyboard to play content, and that's why I struggle. All right, I'm gonna play a clip from what's that movie? What's that TV show with Urkel on there? Family Matters? Is that Family? Yeah, Family Matters. And then it's meant to be entertaining, and then I'm going to go deep in it, all right? Okay, so here we go.
I need another birthday boy.
I dated Eddie my junior year in high school.
Well, that can't be. That whole year, he dated a girl named Onisha.
Who's Onisha?
You don't know Onisha. Onisha!
Yes?
You will never believe this. But you and Brandy here were dating Edo at the same time.
Okay, what's even funnier is in the background is, what was her name? Laura, yeah, Laura is in the background laughing her ass off. As Urkel violates the bro code. Here we go.
Kill him
after I do. Here he comes, everybody hide.
Surprise!
What women?
Aren't they all your old girlfriends?
Oh, girlfriends.
Happy birthday to you. Now, just the girls. Happy birthday to you.
Fuck you, this shit was funny. All right, okay. Reason, okay. After I finished laughing, it reminded me how growing up, how as a kid, how I went to television for my role model, and I turned to television for my identity as a man. And what I mean by that is, it reminded me how growing up as a hetero male, trying to live up to the definition of being a quote-unquote real man, the conflicting messages I got about monogamous relationships. On one end, I'm told that as a man, I should be seeking a monogamous relationship, my one and only. On the other end, I'm told a real man, if you're a real man, if you got your shit together, man, you violating that monogamous relationship. Like, it's no, like these women expect you to cheat on them. You ain't a real man. So I'm laughing at how Urkel is just the innocent person in there. But in the comment section, everyone's like, man, fuck Urkel, man. I would have fucked him up. Some people didn't find that shit funny. They were more pissed at how Urkel violated the bro code. And it makes me laugh. It's fucking entertaining. Anyways, I really love the clip. See, on one end, I love how it made me laugh. But on the other end, you know, because they're panning on all the women, all his ex-girlfriend that he violated, that he cheated on. And I remember growing up, you're not supposed to care about the fact that this person, these women, feel violated. Like, imagine, think on how we as men feel when a woman cheats on us. It's as if sometimes it feels like the world cares more about our hurt feelings than it cares about their hurt feelings. B, it was just meant to be a joke. I know. It was just meant to be humor. I know. But I couldn't stop thinking about how shows like these, especially black shows like these, were like, okay, I guess that's what it means to be a real man. Money, clothes, money, cash, hoes. But he can't, anyway, all right, okay. All right. Next I got. Okay, let's go. Okay, I'm going to play. You know what? I'm going to skip this one. Okay, black people, let's call a spade a spade. I'm not going to play the message, but the whole point to it is call it like it is, folks. Call it like it is. If you're trying to fix something, you know what? Fuck it. Let me play the beginning. Here we go. It's both humorous and on point. Some food for thought. So here we go.
Well, I love us, but we're going to have to start calling a thing a thing, because I saw a post today of a girl who went on a date, told the man that her arrow cost $1,000, and then she became a fiance and tried to put us onto game of, you know, her system and how it works. Baby, that's work. It's prostitution. Let's just say that. And there's nothing wrong with that. Get your coin. I'm not here to shame anybody, but let's call a thing, right? It's like when you hear girls that are like, nah, because I need me the scammer boys. You mean thieves? You mean people who do identity theft? Because that's what they're doing. Oh, you know, them boys that be catching a body. You mean serial killers?
Okay. I'm not going to put the whole thing first. Call a thing a thing. Call a spade. Call it like it is. There's one I should be using for what I was talking about, the previous example. Oh, my favorite is game. You got to have game. Yo, there's never been... I've yet to hear an explanation of game, having game, right? Being able to approach women and get what you want of it. I've yet to hear a definition of game that didn't sound like, oh, so you're saying coerce. If there is a definition, every explanation I've heard about having game, it always sounded like, oh, coercion. Anyways, it is what it is. What else? Okay, this one is funny. Okay, I'm not gonna have time to play this one, but no, I do. It's meant to be funny, right? It's a Mexican mother. You can play it for yourself. It's a Mexican mother, and she's the way she pronounces lettuce. You know what? I just messed up the punchline. That is one of those things that I just messed it up. But the way she pronounces lettuce, it sounds like letters. And the real reason why I'm sharing this clip is because as a child, as a person raised by immigrant parents whose English was their second language, I was so able to relate to this moment. The mother is like trying to talk to her child and says, lechuga! And the poor kid's like, eating letters? What the fuck? What are you talking about? and then she talks to the older son. I love this moment, man. It's just so relatable. Then the older son comes up and goes, yo, how the fuck do you say lettuce in English? And the kid is confused. And anyway, yo, I'm not doing the clip justice. But I am saying, if I'm sharing it, it's only because it reminded me of growing up as a child raised by immigrant parents whose English is their second language. All right. Okay. What else do I got here? Okay. Now, is this the last one? No, this is not the last one. Okay. This one I put my own thought. This is like a real random thought here. And I'm kind of going over time. But you don't need to hear all this shit, but okay. Oh, one last point regarding the video that I shared. The last clip that I shared. The other reason why I shared about the Mexican mother telling her child, confusing the term lettuce with letters. Growing up with parents who English was their second language and I was mastering English, I was able to master English better than they did. No, it's not that I mastered English. It's more the pronunciations better than they did. It kind of gave me a little sense of superiority over my parents, which is bullshit. They went through a lot. I'm a child. What the fuck do I know, right? As a child, I think it fed into the idea that I knew, because I was able to learn about Canadian culture faster than they did, they could. It gave me a sense of, well, that's why I know better than you. This is why when they use words like, I know what's best for you. Sorry. It's equivalent to a white person saying, I'm fighting racism. it went over, like, I didn't believe him. Yeah, it affected their credibility. That's what I'm trying to say. But to make things worse is, I had those kind of parents, they were Christians, who, like, valued that part of the Ten Commandments, honor thy parents, who expected that shit. And also, I don't know if it's because they were narcissists, but they portrayed the image that, yo, we know everything. Your problem, like, their mindset was, your problem is our problem. But in doing so, they would also micromanage their child's growth. They felt like, yo, if we don't control all aspects of this child's life, they're going to fail. They had that kind of mindset. And that's not the problem. The problem is how they portrayed this image that we know unintentionally. I'm going to use the word unintentionally. Or maybe that's what they were, right? But they unintentionally projected the image that we know everything. Come to us for everything. We have all the answers to everything. And the problem is, yeah, but not the fucking proper pronunciation of the word sugar. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, growing up as it messed with them. It affected their credibility. I think it's on my parents' side is they like lack self-awareness. They didn't have the kind of self-awareness to say, okay, this is our areas of improvement. This is where we need to humble ourselves when it comes to explaining shit to our child. Yeah. No, sorry. I was just thinking about that time I went to my dad and asked him about girls. I was 16. And his quick response was, yo, fuck them girls. Don't worry about them girls. Focus on your school and yada, yada, yada. Focus on your school and education. Then worry about the girls. And now at the time, I just believed that he was just be one of those Christians who doesn't want to talk about the birds and the bees. But sometimes, maybe that was his indirect way of saying, I don't have the fucking answers. If I had all the answers, I would be married to your mom. I'd be like Eddie. I'd have boatload of bitches in my house. None of you fucking kids. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, okay. Okay, all right. Translation to the last thing on random thoughts. Had a recent conversation with my dad, and it reminded me of why I do this podcast. I like to call things like there is, especially when it's in response to my relationship with my parents. Right? It's not a Hallmark moment. It's not like the perfect situation. It's not. I don't mean to air out dirty laundry. That's not my intention. It's more meant to be, this is how things are. So the conversation went like this. It was, I reconnected with my dad. It's because we had, like, I was trying to bond, trying to conversation, right? And essentially, I was just speaking to him honestly. The last episode I talked about, it doesn't matter if you haven't heard the episode, but the point is, I'm changing my relationship with my parents where I'm no longer playing the diplomat. This diplomatic role where I care for what they say, only tell them what they want to hear. I'm being more honest about who I am to my parents and put them in the situation of, yo, either love me or leave me the fuck alone. You know what I mean? No, it's no more tap dancing. It's not a mean thing. It's just, yo, this is me being real with you. Anyway, so with that same intent, I was talking to my dad, and I heard him, and he makes a comment and says, sounds like you're being very philosophical. Now, when he said that, my first instinct was, oh, shit. What I heard was, you're being weird again. Now, I'm not saying that was his intention. Doesn't matter what his intention was by saying that, but what that translated to me was, yo, you're being weird again, knock it off. And then so my first instinct was to get not necessarily defensive, but also like, oh shit. My brain went into, okay, be normal. And I remember wondering, what is normal? I don't know how to, because I was actually trying to communicate an idea to him, and I honestly don't know any other way I could have explained it. And he goes, you're being philosophical. Might have been a compliment, but no, okay. It's not that it, for the intent of this conversation, doesn't matter what his intention was. I heard you're being weird. And it reminded me of, okay, getting back to why I do this podcast, is because once I get that sense of you're being weird again, whether it be from my dad or anyone, right? Because it's kind of funny. I'm a 6 foot, 300-pound black guy, dark-skinned black guy, and I hate standing out. Black guy living in a white society, and I've always hated standing out. I've always hated the fact that I felt like the odd man out, so I'm always trying to struggle to fit in. Now, this version of me is like, fuck it, I'm done trying to fit in. God bless being in your 40s. But yeah, my instinct to fit in, yeah, I stopped trying to fit in. I lost my train of thought. Conversation. All right, so getting back to the original point why I podcast is because whenever I get that sense of, oh, you're being weird again, or I'm getting that message, I get into automatically fit in. So I shut down. I shut down. I stopped trying to communicate my ideas, even though I had good intentions, even though it was a great point, even though I have no way of explaining this complicated thoughts and bringing it down into single words. I don't know, you know, so I just, I try to simplify shit. Hold on a second. It's like, okay, I'm going to use the example of, the clip about Eddie that I just shared about the Family Matters, right? Now, I would avoid explaining to people of how this reminds me of when I was a kid and how the confusing message I got about monogamy. I would avoid bringing that up and would just laugh and keep it moving. Yeah, this is one of those know your audience type of situations. Okay, the reason I podcast is because I get to say shit, talk about the things that I would usually shut down, force myself. I would usually shut up. A lot of the things that I say are things that just go through my mind, rarely comes out of my mouth to another person. Because usually, I'm not saying all human beings, everyone is like that, but in the circle that I grew up with, it's stuff that weren't well received, weren't received in the way it was intended to be received. It's like I'm trying to say that it's like I've gone through life being a mute because I was surrounded by people who either were unwilling or unable to understand what I'm trying to fucking say. One other thing I realized about myself, in order to be my friend, in order for us to have a connection, in order for whatever, you're going to have to be patient. And not only do you have to be patient, don't make me feel like shit for requesting your patience. Like, patience needs to be your natural instinct. It's not something that it's a chore for you to do. The second I get a sense that, okay, I'm sorry, I'm being a burden for you, click. Then, you know, real be black hides. It's like, okay, what do you want to hear? How do you want me to be? What the fuck do you want? You know, I shut that guy off. Patience. And I'm not lecturing just you. I'm even learning that I need to be even patient with my own self. So yeah, no, it was, last point I'm making as I'm talking about, you know, my relationship with my dad, that realization from that conversation, him just saying, oh, you're being philosophical, and reminding me how my first instinct was just to shut down. It reminds me that when I speak about my parents, initially, the reason why it was so difficult to talk about my relationship with my parents or any other family members is because it felt like not only that I was airing dirty laundry, but I was just some guy bitching about his parents. And the truth is, and what I'm realizing, that what I'm actually doing is something that rarely gets talked about when it comes to parenting or parents and their relationship with their children is, what happens if you're one of those people born into a family or born with parents who you have fundamental differences with? They're conservative, you're liberal. I mean, like, at the core. Fundamental, like, huge differences. And to make it worse, the parents are unwilling or unable to accept those fundamental differences. Here's an easier example to come up, right? Being born gay to fundamental Christian parents. You know, and in your mind, you want to be like the Huxtables. No, I'm talking about the Huxtables. You want to be that projection of that perfect family. But at the core, you have fundamental differences that you are unable to acknowledge. That's what I'm talking about. When, if I talk about any conflict I have with my parents, it's the same conflict any other family member would have with parents, that they have some fundamental differences that they can't reconcile. Wow. Okay, that's it. You know what? I just realized, how long is it? Okay, yeah. I just realized that that last point could have been a final thought. Could have been a final thought, but I went over, but I made my point. So let's just jump to final thoughts and then take it from there. And then maybe I might consider making a whole episode on being raised by parents who refuse to accept the fundamental differences between them and their child. Like, God forbid, I remember believing the notion that, you know, you have kids so they'll continue their family name or they'll continue the family business. And never realized that that was a selfish undertaking. That's kind of selfish. Never looked at it that way. Then again, I grew up in a Christian household, so that would kind of fuck up my view of what a real family is supposed to be. With that said, let's go to final thoughts, and then we can finally end the show. All right, let's go. All right. Okay. So I made some adjustments to the volume. Let's go. All right, okay. Before I start with what's up with today's title, there's a group I follow on Twitter called Podcast Movement. And every once in a while, they ask some questions that I really like. And this one goes, how do you choose the topics or theme for your podcast episodes? Any specific criteria or process you follow? And I remember getting ready to dismiss the question, because I'm like, yo, my podcast is a little different. And it hit me. I was like, nah, man. It comes down to inspiration, honestly. And here's my response. I'm going to read it out. It goes, it's a combination of stuff I find on social media and a thought inspired by art, current event, or a therapy session. So in this case, in today's, what's up with today's title? It was inspired listening to Naughty by Nature's first album. That long pause is B1. Okay, let me Google this. It was Naughty by Nature first album. Because apparently what I think is their first album is actually... Yeah, okay. All right, man. Some motherfucker on Wikipedia lied to me, man. Yeah, Naughty by Nature album. And it's called Naughty by Nature album. The one where Tretch is holding a machete. And yeah. Okay, so on Wikipedia, they say Naughty by Nature is the second album by Naughty by Nature. Released on September. Okay, maybe I should fix this. The album was first recorded on... Oh, so there is another album before this one. And it's called... independent leader. Now, this can't be right. Independent Leaders is the debut studio album by American hip-hop trio Naughty by Nature, released under the name The New Styles in 1989 on MCA Records. Audio production recorded was handled mostly by the group. Nigga, you guys have to see this picture. Who's that with the high top? Is that Tretch? That's the That's so weird. Anyways, yeah. Oh my god. Okay, let's get back to what was I saying? Okay. What's up with today's title? It's all I know is I heard the album and something told me, yo, you better find a title. Your final thought better be based on something you heard off this album. Now, my first instinct was to go with Guard Your Grill, but that might be another episode, and I'll explain why for Guard Your Grill. But then I went with Ghetto Bastard. Now, I'm confused if the title of the song is Ghetto Bastard or if the title of the song is Everything's Gonna Be All Right. But for the sake of conversation, I'm gonna go with Ghetto Bastard. And what's up with today's title? Bottom line is, oh shit, you know what? I'm gonna do you one better. It was so... Okay, first let me explain that today's title comes from the song Ghetto Bastard. And the snippet that I read at the beginning is at the intro. And it's said by Tretch, and he introduces this song, Ghetto Bastard. And I feel the need to reread it again. He goes, just because it's short, he goes, this is a story about the drifter who waited for the worst because the best lived cross town. Who never planned on having, so didn't. Why me, huh? All right, okay. Now, I am going to read what I said instead of it was so profound that I found myself writing this down. So, here it goes. I said, what do I think about when I hear the words, why me, huh? That last part at the end. And I said, the first thought that comes to mind when I hear those words, those three words, is the warmth of self-pity. The warmth that comes from self-pity. But it can also mean my initial intention when I chose to search through the Ghetto Bastard song for a title. I tended to reflect on how people who have had it worse than me can manage to go through life and not feel like they're cursed. Or if they do, they do a better job about it. Wait, I wrote that wrong. Yeah, they do a better job about it with dealing with it. What I'm saying is, I'll just keep reading. I just want to give in to the idea of being cursed. So I have this thing about feeling cursed, all right? It's an ongoing conversation that I have with my therapist, right? And then here goes another line. I said, I just want to give in to the idea of being cursed. The same way I want to give in to the warmth of a nice, beautiful pity party. Man, fuck what you heard. I mean, yeah. I remember the first time my therapist brought up the word pity party. Wait, did I read about it? But I remember thinking, what's wrong with a pity party? The warmth that comes with, oh my God. Like, look, I'm not saying pity parties are a good thing. This is not what I'm saying. But I am acknowledging the fact that there's a reason why some people love pity. Because it's just, there's a warmth that comes. I don't know where it comes from, but my brain equated with, yo, fuck, warmth, comfort from this cruel world that you live in. And what I'm saying is there's something convenient about believing in being cursed. Now, I'm saying a lot of this shit, I'm not giving you solutions. I'm calling it like it is. Back to the reading. When I listened to Ghetto Bastard and the challenge that came for someone like Tretch to grow up never knowing his father, and considering the possibility that, the challenge that comes with never knowing his father, and I can understand him, Tretch, growing up with the idea of him feeling cursed, of him believing that, yo, fucking, I'm a born loser. I ain't gonna make it in this world. I was this life is my hell. The whole song, Ghetto Bastard, is him expressing how, yo, I ain't got it that great. My beginning into this life was a bad one. I started out low. He's talking about starting from the fucking bottom. And then the rest of us, kids, us privileged kids, whether who grew up with fathers in a better, or outside of the ghetto, had the fucking nerves to take his words and act like he's talking about our problems. When I think about Tretch expressing his darkness, his hopelessness, I'm wondering, how dare you? I respond with, how dare you believe that your life is as hard as Tretch was? How dare you get yourself to believe that you're cursed? Now, this is not meant to be a self-help book. What I am getting at is, it's not a cure. What I am saying is, yes, a part of me does feel a little like, feels a little ashamed to be like, hey, you know what? Shut the fuck up. You kind of had it better than he is. I mean, granted, he's a rapper, but that's not the point. His childhood, he's got a childhood worth rapping about. And in a song called Ghetto Bastard, you don't get to call yourself a ghetto bastard. But doesn't change the fact that I have this overwhelming feeling of feeling cursed. I'm thinking of what's the name of that sister who did the show? I May Kill You. No, I May. What's her name? I May. Oh man, hold on a second. I May Destroy You. Oh my God, I'm so proud of myself for remembering. All right, Michaela Coel, right? In that show, she goes through trauma. Basically, she was she was raped, date rape, and the whole show is pretty much, I mean, it's more complicated than that, but going through that shit. But there's a part where their character is like, unwilling to make a quote-unquote big deal of the fact that she was sexually harassed, because she's thinking about, well, yo, fucking kids in the Congo are getting raped regularly. What the fuck is my little, like, how dare I look for any healing? And that's what I'm saying. It makes me both mad and also shrug. Why did I write this? Most people shrug. Makes me shrug with no answers to say, I don't know why I feel cursed. It is what it is. I'm going to keep reading just to make my point, just so I can finalize. It goes, the other thing that Why Me Hum makes me think about is this constant debate I seem to have with my therapist. I say debate, but it's... For example, when I said, don't forget to think how dope you are, and I'm like, why me? My therapist will, why would I believe that I'm dope? And my therapist will respond, why would you not? Why would I believe one of my fucking plans? Why would I believe that I could create a good podcast? And she'll be like, why would you not? And like, I don't think you're hearing me. It's like, for me, it's important for her to understand, no, it's fucking cursed. She's Haitian. I joked about it. It's like, how the fuck are you Haitian? You don't understand the concept of being cursed. It's like, I'm holding on with both hands to this notion of being cursed. I refuse to let go. There's a certain warmth. There's a certain comfort. I can't explain it. It's like a default programming, but I need to believe that shit. I don't know why. I'm working on it. I'm processing. There's a war going on outside. No man is safe from. There's a war between me and the part that's like, yeah, nah, nigga, you're cursed. I don't know why the fuck you're recording this podcast. It's not going to go nowhere. Ain't no one, and the people are going to listen to it are just going to laugh at it or dismiss it. You know what I mean? Like I'm fighting that motherfucker. Because the truth is, you got to try. And it's a big deal for me to say that you got to try. That's like that. I've come a long way to be that guy who says you got to try. The guy who believes that, yeah, no, I do believe in the notion that that Mark Twain quote, he goes, 20 years from now, you're more likely to regret the things that you didn't do over the things you did do. Okay, last paragraph. There's a lot of hopelessness expressed in that song, Ghetto Bastard. On one end, I feel connected to it. And on the other, I want to kick my own ass for having the audacity to believe that your version of hopelessness compares in any ways to his. I'm no better than that white kid who believed. I'm no better than that white kid who told me he believed that that my experience with racism could be compared to him growing up being bullied. I mean, it could have been a good comparison, but the problem is he only shared that part about him being bullied as a way to say, and not, you know, since I was able to step out of it, then you should be able to step out of this racism bullshit. So what I'm getting at is, okay, it reminds me of first time I started listening to the Black Fat Fam podcast. And when they start talking about their struggles about being queer, fat black folk, black dude, black, queer human beings and fat. And I'm listening to them going, because there's a lot of things that they said that I'm like, yo, I could connect to that. I heard what you're saying. And I go, oh, man, yes. There's a lot of, like, I feel like, The problems, they've been through it. They know it. Sometimes I hear solutions to problems that, oh, wow, there's things I couldn't have talked about to anyone. They've seen it, been there, done that, and coped with it. So I hear a lot of, like, solutions. But on the other end, a part of me feels not guilty, ashamed, being, how the fuck do you think your life compares to theirs? You're a little, oh, poor me, I'm a heterosexual guy. Who's got to deal with the fact that he's overly sensitive? You know, it's kind of like I don't want to come off. I have this strong fear of writing in, interacting with them, and I'm like, yeah, let me tell you about my struggles. Well, wait, hold on, let me cut off your mics. I mean, let me tell you about how I dealt with, how I overcame. And why it shouldn't be a big deal for you. Black trans lives matter. Black trans lives matter. All lives matter. All black lives matter. You know, like I have this big worry of, yeah, being the asshole in the conversation. So what am I getting at? Friend of mine, he once, after I told him that the reason I don't want to work any kids helpline, even though I think I'd be good at it, it's because I would worry about getting that one phone call from a person, from a white kid, talking about, I'm going to kill myself because my dad won't let me drive the Mercedes. I'm like, oh, go fuck yourself, kid. Click. But, and he made a point that stuck to me, right? And he said, pain is pain. So some of us, we all have pain. We all got to deal with our pain. I guess some of us have pains that you, doesn't really, that if you share with other people, won't actually inspire sympathy. And I guess when I talk about my hopelessness, I don't want other people's pity. I just want my own pity. Sorry, I just got off a cold. So I'm laughing at the idea that I just got off a cold. And the one time I'm like, fuck you, world, I want you to care about the fact that I have a cold. It's the one time that I'm like that. But I'm okay with suffering alone. All right, getting back to my point, pain is pain. So on one end, In therapy session, my therapist has used the word, "Oh, you've gone through trauma." I'm like, "Trauma? Come on, I was just one ass beaten by my parents. I was just yelled at. That's not trauma." But the thing is, my brain, and this is the part that I'm understanding. You're hearing a man thinking out loud. I'm realizing this. Pain is pain. Doesn't matter that the trauma that I went through, to the other people will be like, "Are you kidding? That shit hurt your, that shit bother you?" That doesn't, other people's reaction doesn't matter. What matters is my own, it's my own reaction. It's the fact that my brain said, "Oh shit, okay, from now on, we're going to do whatever it takes to never get those beatings, including lying to your parents, including shutting down everything and anything about you that makes them feel like you're being weird. Shut that shit down. Hide. Fucking, you see how squirrels live? We're going to live like the squirrels." So I'm saying, yeah, I guess I'm realizing that, no, I've had it better than the average ghetto bastard. But it doesn't change the fact that the relationship I had with my father wasn't like the, how do I say this? It wasn't a bad one. It wasn't a bad one. But there were areas of, here we go. The relationship that I have with my dad is the kind of relationship that if I had a child would make some significant improvements to. And one of them is the, you know, that whole, we don't have to be friends. We don't have to be friends. You just need me to respect you as a father. I understand the whole parent thing, being a friend, but I still believe that you need to understand your child like they were your friends. You need to make sense out of them, especially if they end up having, so you can figure out things like, oh, you got a learning disability. Like, you got to have that kind of patience. Okay. You see the world differently than the rest of us, so we're going to have to explain things to you differently than we would to other people. Like, figuring these things out, as opposed to, how the fuck are you still reading at a first grade level? More ass whoop. You know what I mean? It's more like, I think the bottom line to this is, to this world, is to this thing is, take better care of yourself. What works on others, consider the possibility, may not work on you. So like I said, I may not have had a life of a ghetto bastard. I've had way better than a lot of the ghetto bastards. There's a lot of rap lyrics that I listened to that did not speak about my actual reality. But they were inspirations to get through. I'm thinking of that line by Jay-Z. He goes, that last line. He goes, what is it? He goes, Hove did that so you would have to go through that. Hove did that so you wouldn't have to go through that. Hold on. H to the Izzle. I love how Google figures out what I'm trying to say. Okay, like I told you, sell drugs. No, Hove did that. So hopefully you won't have to go through that. What I think the what I'm just trying to say is, a lot of us, when we're listening to these rappers, even though, you know, they've been commercially successful, getting us to believe that, I know you can be a thug just like me. A lot of their messages should have been a, wow, holy fuck, I'm lucky. Holy fuck, am I glad I didn't have to grow up in an environment where I had to sell drugs. Didn't have a father. Had bad schooling. No opportunities. Was fucking surrounded by death, poverty all my life. Like, these music should have been, wasn't meant to be a songs to, this permission to rebel. No, they were supposed to be songs of, oh, wow, I got it fucking good. And my favorite part in the Ghetto Bastard song is how, sorry, let me hit the laugh. Favorite part of the Ghetto Bastard song is how when Tretch ends with, yo, if you've never been to the ghetto, stay the fuck out of the ghetto. And yet a whole bunch of us listen to that as, okay, so round trip ticket to the ghetto it is. Cause I want to learn how to be hard. How to be a tough guy. Because the actual line goes, if you ain't been to the ghetto, don't ever come to the ghetto. Cause you wouldn't understand the ghetto. Stay the fuck out of the ghetto. That shit was like some reverse psychology. All of us grew up trying to look like ghetto bastards. and I think he meant that shit. First time I heard that line, I was like, yeah, that's kind of a weird thing to say. But now I'm like, it's like, it touches to my point of, bro, man. I'm thinking of that scene in The Wire where Bunk talks about he hung out with all the bad kids. He wanted to be like those bad kids. And he was at a party and he hung out with them. And one of the tough guys, one of the bad kids saw him and said, yo, go the fuck home, schoolboy. I'm paraphrasing. He goes, go home, schoolboy. You don't want none of this life. That's what hip-hop was. It was a bunch of grown men trying to tell us, or should have been grown men telling us, yo, you're fucked. You got it good. You're in a good school. You got prospects. There's hope in your fucking life. You're not hungry. There's food in your tummy. Oh, what's this? You're going to university? Yeah, stick to that shit. And just allow us to entertain you with these lyrics. We're not telling you to accept this lifestyle. Anyways, getting back to the idea of feeling cursed. Ghetto Bastard is a track about feeling being cursed. And the reason why I gravitated to it, because it had me thinking about, how dare you? I've had that song on repeat, by the way. And yeah, I listen to it, I'm going, yeah, man, that dude has a reason to feel cursed. And yet he doesn't. So make that make sense. And I guess this concludes Final Thoughts, and which means the rest of the show. Sorry, gang, my nose is itching again, which means that I don't think my cold has fully got away. Like always, just to remind you, I was explaining to new listeners, if you go to the show notes, it's broken down into four sections. The first three are the same as how I break the acts on this show. Remember, I call it acts, intro, news and random thoughts, and final thoughts. And then there's a final section, a fourth section called other links. And in there, it's just a bunch of links of things that I've could have covered on the episode, but chose to just share it with you. And usually it starts as serious and then to humorous. The shit to make you laugh. All right, this concludes today's episode. As always, okay, I'm going to change this up, right? Usually I'm okay, just to help you simplify things, because I give you too many options to holler at me, right? I'm just going to sit on Twitter at Shut Up Podcast, on TikTok at ShutUpPodcast.com, on Instagram Threads at Shut Up Podcast. But if you really want to get in touch with me, if you really want to holler at me, my stomping ground on the internet is called shutuppodcast.com. What was that? I said shutuppodcast.com. One more time, because I like hearing things in threes. Shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to Google, Apple, Amazon Podcasts, and all kinds of other places that you can get a podcast, except for Spotify. Now, about Spotify, I always bring this up on every episode. You can't see, but I have a board where I write shit that I'm going to do for the podcast. And I wrote, develop a plan to get my podcast out there. And one of them is, get your motherfucking podcast. I didn't write those words, but I said, get your motherfucking podcast on Spotify. So the closest I've gotten to is I Googled how to do it. And I Googled it. I haven't read the full article, but that's winning. That's progress. All right. So my point is, one day I'll be able to say you can subscribe to this RSS feed on the website and find it, or anywhere else you could find a motherfucking podcast. Okay, les amis. Thank you for listening. Seriously. And remember, please, Be kind to your favorite podcast. All right, peace.
I am your king now!